Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Welcome again to our Watoto Church service. It's truly an honor for us to come to you wherever you are watching the service today or listening. We are so grateful. Thank you so much for the feedback that you've given to us over the past number of weeks, and many of you have been blessed by our Watoto Church services. Thank you so, so much. Before we get into God's Word today, I just want to remind us to uphold those Ministry of Health guidelines that have been given to us to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. Together, we will come through this season. Well, let's pray and get into God's Word. Now, Father, I ask you to speak to us today as you always do. We are open in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we are going to conclude our series, Thriving in Tough Times. And I'm going to talk about the final message in this series, the power of commitment. My firstborn son loves animals. He knows details of so many animals, but by far, his favorite animal is a lion. Now, every day in the African wild, a lion and an antelope wake up. Each of them knows that if it's to thrive, if it's to live to see the next day, it must outrun the other. For the antelope, it knows if it's going to live to see another day, it must outrun the lion. The lion knows if it's to live to see another day, it must outrun the antelope and have a meal for that day. Now, that's commitment in the wild. The same is true when it comes to tough times. If we are going to thrive in tough times, we need to have commitment. Now, when I talk about commitment, I'm talking about that emotional and intellectual and even physical devotion to a course of action, no matter what. Nowadays, commitment is becoming a very rare virtue. We live in a world that loves quick fixes. In fact, when I think about commitment, I think about two kinds. There's one that I call worldly commitment. And that kind of commitment is based on convenience or comfort. People say they are committed as long as it's convenient or it's comfortable. That kind of commitment will never enable you to thrive in tough times. The commitment I'm talking about today in the subject, the power of commitment, is kingdom commitment. That's the kind of commitment that's based on covenant. It's a binding agreement you make to intellectually and even physically and emotionally devote yourself to a course of action. It costs. It can be uncomfortable, but it's the only kind of commitment that will enable us to thrive in tough times. That's the kind of commitment that will cause us to outlast any challenging times that we face. By the way, I need to say this before I go on. There is no such thing as the gift of commitment. Commitment, my friends, is a choice we make every day. It's a choice that we make. Today, as I think about this subject, the power of commitment, the person that comes to my mind in the Bible is the Apostle Paul. He embodies this entire subject of commitment. I'm amazed by his life. Before the Apostle Paul became a believer, he was actually committed to persecuting believers. He hunted them down. And one time in one of his ventures to persecute the believers, he had an encounter with Jesus that totally changed his life. By the way, when we commit our lives to Jesus, he doesn't adjust our life. He completely transforms our lives from inside out. That was the experience of the Apostle Paul. And after he became a believer, Paul was so committed to God and to God's work, he went preaching the gospel. He went planting churches in new ground. He literally began to influence cities. Paul was thriving in his mission, but it wasn't without challenge. He faced some difficulties. extreme, challenging, tough times that he went through, but he never let them discourage him from his commitment to God's purpose for his life. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and from verse 23 to 28, describing some of his challenges. He says, I have worked much harder, but I've also been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. Wow! What a life. Tough times he faced. But then he says, I have also labored and I have toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Beside everything else, I face the daily pressure of my concern for all the churches. He still said, regardless of the things he faced, he was still concerned about the church. Kingdom commitment. The letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians, which is actually now a book, the book of Philippians, is what I want to concentrate on and just bring 3 things that Paul says we must commit to if we are going to thrive in tough times. By the way, Paul wrote that letter to the Philippians while he was in prison himself. But also he was writing to encourage the church in Philippi that was going through difficulty, through persecution. And he teaches and he says 3 things that we must commit to if we're going to thrive in tough times. These 3 things will enable you, my friend, to also thrive in the tough times that we are in today. The first thing that Paul teaches when we are going through tough times, number one, we must commit to a godly mindset. How easy it is for us to slip into an ungodly mindset when we are going through tough times. We start to entertain negative thoughts that make us very critical or even very pessimistic. It all starts in our thoughts. But Paul begins to tell us the kind of mindset we need to have, a godly mindset, has thoughts that are opposite to the ungodly mindset. Here, Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, Paul describes the kind of thoughts that we need to have. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, hear the thoughts. Whatever is true, whatever is noble. Noble means it's showing qualities of high moral character. Whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, those are the things that we need to be thinking about even when we're going through tough times. Think about such things. And Paul says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The mind is a war zone of all kinds of thoughts, especially when we go through tough times. If we do not manage our thought life very well and begin to carry negative thoughts like, I'm never going to make it through, my business will never recover, I will never get a good job like some people are thinking now, or I'll never be financially well or physically healthy, those kinds of thoughts end up bringing us to a place of fear and stress and depression or even confused and anxious. We carry a defeated mindset. Some people even become suicidal in the process. In tough times, we need to resist the ungodly mindset and embrace a godly mindset, my friends. I love a book that really helped me when it comes to mindset. It was written by Joyce Meyer, who is a very good friend of Watoto. The book is entitled The Battlefield of the Mind. And if you've never read it, I encourage you to read it. Because Joyce Meyer begins to describe her life, how she faced a very abusive childhood and various setbacks that caused her to begin to feel and think that she would never amount to anything in life. She faced hard times in her life, but she had to fight against an ungodly mindset. so she could commit to a godly mindset that would eventually enable her to thrive in her life. That's why she wrote the book. I want to give you two quotes from the book. Joyce Meyer says, "When a person is going through a hard time, his mind wants to give up. Satan knows that if he can defeat us in our mind, he can defeat us in our experience." That's why it is so important, Joyce Meyer says, that we don't lose heart or grow weary or even faint when we are going through hard times. The other quote that I love from that book is this: "You cannot have a positive life and a negative mind. Commit to a godly mindset." Just two final thoughts when it comes to committing to a godly mindset. Number one, a godly mindset embraces tough times as an opportunity for life transformation. That it does. But secondly, a godly mindset is a faith-based mindset. Without faith, we can never please God. In order to thrive in tough times, we need to commit to a godly mindset. Change your mindset, change your life. Secondly, as Paul was writing to the church in Philippi, he encouraged them to commit to, number two, godly values. Nothing tests our values like tough times. When tough times come, that's when you begin to see the core of the values that we hold. I had a testimony 2 weeks ago about one of our youth here at church who moved to do her further studies in the U.S. And when COVID came and they had to shut down the university, she went to stay with her brother. Few days while she was there, her brother began to experience some symptoms of COVID. And as they did tests and it truly came out that he was positive, but she was negative. That was a test of her values. Her family got involved and they began to talk, what do we do? Do we find a different apartment for her to stay? And she responded back to her dad and to her family and she said, you know what? There are guidelines that we've been given by the health officials that will help the spread of this virus. I'm going to follow all those guidelines. I'm going to maintain all those precautions. But secondly, she said, I'm going to stay in this apartment and care for my brother. I don't want him to go through it alone. I will maintain the precautions I've been given by the health officials, but I just want my brother to know that I'm with him. But she never stigmatized her brother. She wanted her brother to know that she cared. But thirdly, she told her dad, Daddy, I still believe in the power of prayer. I know God will protect me from getting this virus, but also God will heal my brother. And today he's well and he is at work. It was a test of our values. I was so moved when I heard that story from one of our young people. You see, friends, godly values will give you an unshakable, solid foundation for thriving in tough times. We need to commit to building our lives, careers, businesses, families, society, and nations on godly values so that when times come that are tough, we will be like a house built on a rock that will weather any kind of storm. That's what Jesus said. One value that Paul embraced was the value of contentment. This enabled him to thrive in tough times. He describes it in Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 13. He says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last, writing to the church in Philippi, at last you renewed your concern for me, because they had sent him some support while he was in prison. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, he's reminding them. For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it means to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Paul is saying here this value of contentment has enabled him to thrive in whatever circumstances he faced. No wonder he says he was able to rejoice greatly in the Lord even while he was in prison. Contentment is that attitude of gratitude for what we have now as we trust God to grant us our desires. That was the value that kept Paul going. Now, whereas godly values enable us to thrive in tough times, ungodly values will destroy our lives when we are in tough times. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 23 shows us some of the fruit of ungodly values. Here Paul says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature that are inspired by ungodly values, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. These are things that we see when people are under pressure. They begin to do these things. Let me tell you again, Paul says, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life can never inherit the kingdom of God or the life that God wants them to have. Ungodly values destroy our lives when we go through tough times. But he carries on in verse 22 to talk about some godly values that we must commit to in tough times. He says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. The Bible contains the kind of values we must commit to. Other values like truth and excellence, justice, unity, integrity, name it. These are the values we must commit to if we are going to thrive in tough times. And it can be tough, but I love what Paul says. And here's the truth. Only Christ can give us the strength to consistently live by godly values in tough times. So commit to godly values. Finally, Paul teaches us that when we are going through tough times and we want to thrive in those tough times, we need to commit to godly vision. Vision is that picture of your preferred future that excites you and produces passion inside of you. It's the dream in your heart for your life, for your family and career. Vision is what you see when your eyes are closed. Vision is the future you imagine. Godly vision is the kind of vision that ultimately brings honor and glory to God. Tough times have a tendency to blind our vision. That's why we must commit to keeping our vision in front of us and never give up on our vision. Don't you ever let tough times kill your vision, my friend. Keep that vision in front of you. Some people are already counting 2020 as a lost year. Some people have abandoned their goals and plans for 2020. Yes, the reality is that COVID has disrupted everything, including our routines. And everything is likely to change in the world in the next number of years. But that doesn't mean we abandon our visions and dreams that God has given to us. We may need to adjust our plans, adjust our strategies, but keep focused on our vision. Keep committed to the vision God has given to us. Why? The Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Other versions say they cast off restraint. They begin to live anyhow. That's why we must commit to a godly vision. It speaks of the future and a beautiful future. Our story as Watoto Church is a story that talks about this value of vision. It's one of our core values. When Gary and Marilyn came to plant Watoto Church, it was in difficult days, but they had a commitment to this God-given vision that Watoto Church would become one of those churches that celebrates Christ, but also cares for community. And today, we look after thousands of vulnerable children. We reach out to thousands of vulnerable women in community to give them a hand up in life. It was a godly vision given to Gary and Marilyn. For years, they were committed to it. As a church, we are committed to it. We planted a few years ago a church in South Sudan. God called us to plant a church in South Sudan. And South Sudan is quite unstable, and there were times when war would erupt in the city of Juba. And we had to recall our team twice, but we never gave up. We are in South Sudan today. When all this is said and done, we will be there celebrating Christ, caring for community. Stay committed to the vision God has given to you. Paul talks about his personal vision for his life, but also for his work in Philippians 3, 10 and 14. He says, I want to know Christ. This is an apostle, my friends, who had an encounter with Jesus, but he's here saying, hey, this is my personal dream, to know Christ more. That was his personal vision. And he says, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead. And he says in verse 12, not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took a hold of me. Brothers and sisters, he says, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. What was that prize? For him to be with Jesus forever. But secondly, for him to hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant. Because he stayed committed to the vision God gave him. In tough times, don't quit on Christ. Be like Paul. Get to know Christ more. Forget the past, Paul says. Forget the past and press on towards the goal, the future. The past or even the present can easily become an enemy of your future. So once again, when we're going through tough times, commit to a godly vision. It will inspire you. It will ignite creativity in you. It will give you resilience to press on to a better tomorrow. Because godly vision, this is what it does. Godly vision motivates us to persevere through tough times. Wow. Those three things will enable us to thrive in tough times. Paul demonstrates exactly how the power of commitment is necessary when we face tough times. We must exercise kingdom commitment, as I conclude, to a godly mindset, to godly values, but also to godly vision if we are going to thrive in tough times. Here's a final scripture I'm going to leave with you. Again, it's Paul writing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 to 9. He says, though we experience every kind of pressure, we are not crushed. At times, we do not know what to do, but quitting is not an option. We are persecuted by others, but God has not forsaken us. We may be knocked down, but not out. Stay committed. We will thrive through tough times. In Jesus' name. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I love the life of the Apostle Paul. It demonstrates the power of commitment. And before I finish the message today, I just want to draw back to Paul's story. Paul lived a life totally opposite of what God's plan was for him. He even persecuted the church. But one encounter with Jesus changed his life forever. And he became committed to God and to God's plan for his life. In fact, Paul says when it comes to sin, he was a chief sinner. That's what he describes himself as. But save for the grace of God that totally turned his life around. Maybe you are listening to me today, watching. You've never experienced this grace of God in your life that totally changes lives. I want to pray with you if that's you. Repeat this simple prayer. Say, dear Jesus, I thank you that you love me. You gave your life so I could have life. Today, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I choose to commit my life to you, Jesus, forever. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you are now born again. You are a child of God. Please let us know how we can help you. If you're watching online, there's a link in the chat section. Just indicate there that, hey, you've given your life to Jesus. We'd love to get in touch with you. Or maybe you're listening or watching on TV. You can write to us at connect@watorochurch.com and we will be able to be in touch with you to help you in your new found life. Congratulations, you are now a part of the family of God. Welcome, my friend. Now, before I turn the service over to Pastor Eddie, who's going to take us through the rest of the service, I'm so excited to let you know that next week we are beginning a brand new series entitled Thriving Families. I know you are going to be blessed by it. So invite your friends, watch it as a family. These teachings will radically transform your families.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watorochurch.com.